Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. Today, the headlines confirm that AI-driven reorganization is fundamentally altering the corporate landscape, from talent to treasury. First up, Amazon axes 14,000 corporate jobs due to AI-driven workflow compression. This is the new reality, massive headcount shifts from routine operations to model infrastructure. Next, we look at the growing competitive pressure. Qualcomm's stock is soaring on news of new AI chips designed to challenge AMD and NVIDIA, intensifying the battle for control over on-device inference. In strategy and governance, the OpenAI-Microsoft deal revamp is demanding an independent panel verify any AGI claim before the deal is official, a dramatic shift in corporate accountability. This comes as the AI talent war goes remote, with top engineers ditching big tech for smaller, specialized firms. Plus, we cover Anthropic bringing Claude directly into Excel, a huge co-pilot challenge, and LexisNexis's entry into the AI law era. We also cover the AI angle on the Amazon layoffs, the longest World Series game, and the market moves on Microsoft and PayPal stock. But first, a crucial message for the enterprise builders. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. You need to reach the right 1%, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads. We've reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for high-stakes governed AI infrastructure companies. Secure your mid-roll spot here, link in show notes. Now let's unravel today's AI news.
Oh, hey, so we've landed right in the middle of October 28th, 2025. A really explosive day in the AI world. And looking at the sources we've gathered for this dive, it's just, wow, the paradox hits you straight away.
Yeah, it's pretty stark, isn't it?
Totally. On one side, you've got thousands of white-collar workers finding out their jobs are, well, gone, redundant, because AI's made things too efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, there's this flood of cash, billions pouring into AI infrastructure, new models, even tech aiming for like direct thought-to-text communication. It's wild.
And this specific day, October 28th, it really captures that shift perfectly. We're way past just playing around with AI now.
Right.
It's becoming the foundation for really high-stakes stuff. You know, finance, law, global governance.
Mm.
It's embedded. Mm. The sources show this almost desperate scramble, not just for new models, but to make them reliable, scalable, while simultaneously racing towards the next big leap.
So our mission here is to kind of cut through all that chaos for you, give you a clear picture of the big economic, ethical, and tech shifts happening right now on this day. Let's dive in where that paradox feels sharpest, the workforce. Okay, first up, the story hitting the corporate world hardest today, Amazon.
Mm-hmm. The big one.
Yeah, they're cutting 14,000 corporate jobs, their biggest layoff in years. And they're not beating around the bush about why. It's a direct move to fund their AI push.
Right. The HR chief, Beth Galetti, even said AI is the most transformative technology since the internet.
That quote, it's heavy. It basically says jobs we thought were safe admin, middle management, maybe they're now firmly in the crosshairs, not just being helped by AI, but potentially replaced.
Exactly. And it's not just Amazon. Look at Meta. They cut, 600 jobs from their superintelligence labs, ostensibly to streamline decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even more telling, they also cut staff in their risk department because they're using AI to automate compliance reviews.
Wait, hang on. AI is automating the auditors? The compliance people? That feels backwards somehow. I thought those roles were more complex.
It shows how deep the automation potential is going.
Yeah.
But okay, if these huge companies are shedding thousands of these white-collar roles, what about the talent war we keep hearing about? Doesn't that contradict it?
Good question.
It's not really a contradiction. It's more the market's splitting. It's highly bifurcated now. Yes, there's still absolutely insane demand, a huge premium for the people building the next generation of AI models. The real frontier stuff.
Okay.
But for the huge number of generalist coders, those early career developers, admin support, those areas are seeing serious pressure, rapid compression.
Yeah.
We found some striking numbers, like Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei. He said 90% of the code written at Anthropic is done by AI.
90%. Wow. I mean, if I were a computer science undergrad right now, that figure would be terrifying.
You should be.
Yeah.
Especially when you pair it with that Stanford study. It found employment for early career software developers dropped 20% just between 2022 and 2025.
20%. So this isn't just theoretical anymore.
Not at all. We're watching the market adjust in real time.
So if big tech is letting these folks go, where do they end up? Are they just out of work? or shifting somewhere else.
They're decentralizing. And that, I think, is the really crucial takeaway for you listening. These cuts are pushing skilled engineers out of that concentrated big tech bubble.
Oh, okay.
And they're moving into sectors that desperately need AI expertise, but maybe couldn't compete with big tech salaries before. Think healthcare, specialized finance, manufacturing.
So different kinds of roles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's less about just churning out code volume now and more about specialized deployment.
Mm-hmm.
These companies need engineers who can take these powerful frontier models and actually integrate them into specific, often highly regulated, business systems. It's a different skill set, arguably higher value, and it's spreading out. And as soon as that talent moves into places like finance and law, you immediately hit the biggest hurdle: trust. Reliability.
How do these fields deal with the fact that AI models can, well, make things up? The hallucination problem, which leads us neatly into Anthropic's announcement today. Claude for Excel, now in beta. Sounds kind of boring on the surface, right? AI for spreadsheets.
Huh. Maybe. But a potential utility is massive.
Yeah, it can apparently fix complex formulas, actually explain huge spreadsheets, build whole workbooks from scratch, all from a sidebar right in Excel.
But what makes it more than just a slightly smarter spreadsheet assistant is the connections they built in. This launch includes 7 new connectors.
Connectors? To what?
To trusted external data sources. Think LSEG, that's the London Stock Exchange Group for live market data, Moody's for credit ratings, really authoritative sources.
Okay, why is that specific connection so important? Why not just let the AI browse the web like other models?
Because in finance, a decision based on outdated or just plain wrong web data could cost millions in seconds. By plugging Claude directly into LSEG, and Moody's, basically the gold standard for market and credit info, Anthropic is building a sort of verified input system.
Ah, ensuring the source is good.
Precisely. It gives the AI the authority to be a serious financial tool, moving past that phase of, well, maybe it's right, maybe it isn't.
And that need for authority, for verification, it's maybe even more critical in the legal field. Which brings us to LexisNexis. Huge name in legal research.
The giant.
They just rebranded today, calling themselves an AI-native legal intelligence company. And they launched this new platform, Protégé. This isn't just adding an AI feature. It's like changing their whole identity.
It's a massive statement. LexisNexis is the backbone for so many law firms. They're essentially betting their entire brand on solving AI's credibility problem in law.
So what's their secret sauce? How do they tackle hallucinations?
Their core advantage, their competitive moat, is their data. Protégé isn't trained on random stuff scraped from the web. It's trained on their own proprietary library, 160 billion verified legal documents. Nothing else comes close to that quality and focus in the legal domain.
160 billion. Okay. And their accuracy claim is bold, too. They're saying every single AI-generated draft gets reviewed by a human lawyer, a practicing attorney, to deliver, quote, courtroom-grade accuracy.
And that's the key innovation, I think. They get that solving the pure technical problem of zero hallucinations might be impossible right now. So instead, they're solving the business problem the users need for confidence, for liability protection.
The human check.
Exactly. By making verified by lawyer the standard for every output, they create what you might call a controlled hallucination zone. They're setting a benchmark for trust in legal AI. It's a business solution using tech, but crucially, with human oversight baked in.
Okay, so if these AI tools need to be verified and trustworthy, that naturally takes us to governance. How do we make sure they're safe, especially as they get integrated into really sensitive areas, like, say, mental health?
Well, we saw some significant movement on that front today. OpenAI specifically rolled out major updates to GPT-5. This was after consulting with over 170 mental health professionals worldwide. The goal was to make it handle potential crisis situations much better.
And did it work? Are there numbers on that?
Yeah, the improvement looks pretty substantial. Clinicians who tested it rated the updated GPT-5 as 91% compliant with standard mental health protocols. That's up quite a bit from 77% for the previous model, GPT-4.
91%. Okay, that's a big jump.
But what really blew me away was the scale OpenAI revealed. They estimate that roughly 0.07% of their 800 million weekly active users show signs of potential psychosis or mania.
Wait, 0.07% of 800 million.
It's over 500,000 people a week. Mm-hmm. Having interactions that are potentially incredibly sensitive, maybe even critical, being mediated by this AI.
Wow. Okay. That scale, it just underscores why these safety guardrails and governance mechanisms are so vital right now, regardless of how we feel about AI being in that space at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that responsibility, that need for governance, it goes all the way up to the top, to the very idea of AGI, Artificial General Intelligence. We saw a major update to the Microsoft OpenAI partnership agreement today, focusing specifically on how they'll handle AGI, if or when it arrives.
Ah, the big agreement. What changed?
The main thing is a new guardrail. If OpenAI internally declares they've achieved AGI, it's not automatically official under the agreement. An independent expert panel has to step in and verify that claim first.
Okay, so an external check. That sounds important.
It introduces this layer of outside accountability right at the point where the technology could become unimaginably powerful.
And what's in it for Microsoft?
Well, it shores up their investment. Their intellectual property rights get extended through 2032, explicitly covering models developed even after an AGI declaration.
Got it. But I also saw something about OpenAI getting more flexibility.
Yes, that's the other interesting part. The updated deal allows OpenAI to release open-weight models, provided they meet certain criteria. That's a pretty significant nod towards the open source community and maybe regulatory pressures.
So it's a balancing act. Protect the commercial side, but also maybe open things up a bit more.
Seems like it. Meanwhile, none of this amazing software runs without hardware. And the chip battle, it just got way more interesting today. Qualcomm officially jumped into the data center ring.
Qualcomm. I think of them for phones.
Exactly. They announced new AI accelerator chips, the AI200 coming in 2026, the AI250 in 2027.
Yeah.
And they're aiming squarely at NVIDIA and AMD's dominance in the data center AI market.
How are they planning to compete? NVIDIA's got such a huge lead.
They're leveraging what they know best, the MPUs, the neural processing units, from their smartphone chips. Specifically, the Hexagon MPU architecture. They're basically scaling up that power-efficient mobile tech for massive data center workloads.
So taking phone tech and putting it in servers.
Kind of, yeah. They're designing these specialized liquid-cooled server racks. Pick this. They can fit up to 72 of these new chips in one rack, all designed to work together as basically one giant AI computer.
72 chips.
Wow. It confirms the race is on.
Yeah.
Companies are desperately looking for alternatives to NVIDIA for specialized hardware that might be faster or cheaper for certain AI tasks. The hardware landscape is definitely heating up.
Yeah.
If we zoom out from the tech itself, you see these geopolitical tensions bubbling up, especially around U.S. dominance in the whole AI infrastructure stack. Europe in particular seems to be feeling the squeeze.
Yeah, the open AI growth in Europe is just relentless. Their ChatGPT enterprise version. Adoption across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa surged 6 times year over year.
Sixfold.
And we're not just talking about corporations. Major government contracts, UK, Germany, Greece, they're embedding OpenAI tech deep into how their civil services operate.
And that creates this real dilemma, right?
Yeah.
A crisis of sovereignty versus efficiency. European AI experts are sounding the alarm, saying this U.S. dominance is basically strangling local innovation.
Are we seeing evidence of that? Startups leaving.
We are. There's this example, Neurologica, a European AI startup. They're actually moving their main operations to North America. Why? Because they said the regulatory landscape back home, all the compliance rules in Europe, were just too heavy, slowing them down too much.
Wow. Choosing speed over staying local.
Exactly. It's a tough choice.
Yep.
But there is a potential counter move happening.
Yeah.
Mistral, the big French AI company.
Right. Europe's big hope, maybe?
Perhaps. They just launched something called Mistral AI Studio today. And this is a significant shift for them. They're moving from just being a company that provides AI models to offering a whole platform, a full stack infrastructure play.
How does that help with the dominance issue?
Their angle, their competitive advantage, is built around addressing those European concerns.
Yeah.
The Mistral platform puts a huge emphasis on governance, on compliance tools, on observability, understanding what the AI is doing.
And crucially,
it lets companies run Mistral's models wherever they want, on their own servers, on-premise, in a mix, hybrid, or even self-hosted. It offers European companies a potential path away from being totally locked into U.S.-based AI systems for their really critical stuff.
Okay, so a European alternative focused on control and compliance. Interesting. Stepping away from the global power plays for a sec, there was also a fascinating glimpse today into how we might interact with AI differently, this thing called Odyssey 2.
Oh, yeah, this is cool. It's a big step toward generative AI feeling less like a static output and more like a malleable living thing.
How does it work?
It's an interactive video model. It generates streaming AI video footage, think, like a movie at 20 frames per second. But here's the kicker. While the video is playing, You, the user, can tag text prompts to change what's happening, to shape the scene, control the narrative in real time.
Whoa, so you're directing the AI movie as it unfolds.
Pretty much. New frames reflecting your prompts appear every 50 milliseconds. It really shifts the relationship from just passively consuming AI content to actively co-creating it on the fly.
That sounds potentially amazing and maybe a little chaotic. And speaking of creating new things, Elon Musk's XAI also jumped into the knowledge game today, right? With Grokupedia.
They did. Right now, honestly, it looks mostly like a curiosity. They're calling it an AI-upgraded encyclopedia.
But what is it?
Well, at the moment, it looks almost exactly like Wikipedia. Same layout, same tone. And a lot of the entries even have a little note saying they were adapted from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So version 0.1, very much a copycat feel.
Okay, so if it's just copying Wikipedia right now, why is it even noteworthy? What's the point?
The significance isn't what it is today, but what it's potentially architected to become. The ambition behind Grokupedia seems to be creating the first truly AI-native knowledge base.
Right.
Meaning a system designed eventually to learn, verify information, and update itself continuously without relying on human editors the way Wikipedia does. So while it looks like a clone now, it represents the blueprint for maybe shifting how information is structured and maintained online, moving from static human articles to dynamic, self-evolving machine knowledge. It's a long-term play.
Wow. Okay, we started this dive talking about layoffs and spreadsheets, very grounded stuff. We're going to end somewhere else entirely. The most futuristic news of the day definitely involves Sam Altman's other venture, Merge Labs.
Yeah, this one is definitely pushing the boundaries. Merge Labs, which Altman co-founded with Alex Blania, they've just brought on a prominent biomolecular engineer, Mikhail Shapiro.
And their goal is ambitious, to say the least, a brain-computer interface, a BCI, but non-invasive.
That's the key difference. They're trying to sidestep the need for drilling holes in skulls, like Neuralink.
Oh, what's the tech? It sounds like science fiction.
It's pretty wild. Shapiro's specialty is using ultrasound sound waves to interact with brain tissue non-invasively. They're looking into methods, possibly involving gene therapy, to make specific brain cells essentially visible or responsive to these sound waves from outside the skull.
So, using sound to read brain activity without surgery.
That seems to be the goal, creating a BCI that could potentially just read neural signals.
And Altman himself, his vision for this, it's very specific, isn't it?
It is. He's been pretty open about his dislike for the invasive approach. I think he said something like, would definitely not sew something to my brain.
Can't blame him there.
Right. He wants something less intrusive, probably read-only initially, and the stated goal. To be able to simply think something and have ChatGPT respond to it, that's the end game. The ultimate seamless interface between human thought and AI. #outro.
It's just kind of dizzying when you put it all together from one day.
It really is. Within just 24 hours, you see the industry doing everything simultaneously. Automating corporate back offices, trying to solve fundamental trust issues for lawyers, laying the scientific groundwork to read thoughts with sound waves. It just confirms that this acceleration isn't happening in just one area. It's hitting every level of human activity all at once.
So let's try to pull that thread together. We went from the immediate, sometimes painful economic shifts, job cuts driven by AI efficiency, and the absolute necessity of making AI trustworthy for high stakes fields like finance and law.
Mm-hmm. Then through the new governance structures trying to manage the power, like the updated Microsoft OpenAI deal for AGI.
Out to the global stage, the platform wars between the US and Europe, with companies like Mistral trying to carve out a space.
And these new frontiers of interaction, like directing AI videos in real time with Odyssey 2, or the blueprint for an AI-native encyclopedia with Grokupedia.
All the way to the far horizon, non-invasive brain-computer interfaces aiming for thought to text.
The progress is foundational, it's incredibly fast, and it's impacting our economy and potentially our biology in profound ways. The systems we talked about today are already handling millions of sensitive mental health interactions. They're displacing thousands of jobs, and the path is being laid to use sound to read brain activity.
So thinking about all that, if the very near future has AI managing our spreadsheets, assessing legal risks, maybe even mediating mental health crises, while the slightly further future involves our actual thoughts interfacing directly with these powerful models, it really forces a question. For you listening, now that you're better informed about this single intense day of progress, what responsibility does this create? What's your role in making sure this power, which is consolidating incredibly quickly, is distributed fairly and governed ethically before we even get to the point where BCIs are a reality? Something to think about.
That's it for today's deep dive. We hope you walked away with actionable insights for your enterprise strategy. Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.